You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, at least 21 states were allegedly hacked by Russian cyber attackers during the 2016 election. We'll learn more in a bit.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. This week, a Wisconsin senator raises concerns about his own party's health care plan, a ruling in a police-involved shooting trial, and when is a 4x4 not a 4x4?
Robert Menser is with us now from Wausau. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Rob, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Rob, U.S. Senate Republicans unveiled a draft of their health care plan yesterday, but Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson joined with what was three is now four other conservative senators raising concerns about that plan. Here he is.
What I've told leadership very clearly is I'm going to need time, and my constituents are going to need time to evaluate exactly how this is going to affect them. So I personally think that holding a vote on this next week would definitely be rushed. I can't imagine, quite honestly, that I'd have the information to evaluate and justify a yes vote within just a week.
What else has Senator Johnson said about his concerns?
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing to say is that Johnson, has the power to hold this up. The Senate Republicans are working on a very tight margin. They have a small majority, and if they lose only a couple of senators, this bill will not pass. So the original plan had been to have the bill, which the draft language was released for the first time on Thursday. We're still waiting on a CBO score for the bill, and the plan originally was to have it voted on next week. So Ron Johnson joined with Senators Ted Cruz of Texas, Mike Lee of Utah, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, some senators on the right flank of the Republican Party, saying that they're not ready to vote yes, and that they think that they need to slow this process down.
And do they all have similar concerns, or are they coming from different perspectives?
Well, so I think it's important to distinguish that group of senators from today. The Senator Dean Heller of Nevada came out saying that he's a no vote on the bill, and sounding very, very against the policy substance of the bill. He talked about millions of people left without coverage and devastating cuts to Medicaid, and the type of language that sounds like it really gets to what the bill would do. Now, Johnson's objection, as you can hear, it's focused a lot more procedurally. And if you look at the joint statement of those senators yesterday, it is actually very weak by the standards of these things. There are a bunch of qualifying language in there. They are not ready to vote for the bill currently. They do want to negotiate. And so they've been quite fairly upfront about putting forward the view that they want to vote for the bill. They won't be doing that next week.
And Senator Johnson has been calling for a repeal of the Affordable Care Act from the start of his first campaign, as have other conservatives in the legislature. But for Johnson, how big an issue is this for him?
Yeah, so it's absolutely. I mean, this has been Ron Johnson's animating issue from the beginning of his political career. That is one of the reasons why it's really hard to imagine, if it really came down to it, is Ron Johnson going to be the guy who prevents this from passing? On the other hand, I mean, the statement that was released, that Johnson and the other senators released yesterday, said that is very frustrating, because it was very hard to pin down on what their objections were. They say that it does not accomplish the most important promise that we made to Americans, to repeal Obamacare and lower their health costs. So it opens up more questions. What counts as repeal? Whose costs are lowered? I mean, both the House bill and the Senate bill make these huge cuts to Medicaid. So by definition, for those people, their costs will be much higher. So it's a bit hard at this point to pin down what the substance of the objection is, or what changes might address it.
And Rob, moving on to a Milwaukee-based story. A jury ruled on Wednesday in the trial of a former Milwaukee police officer in the shooting of Sylville Smith.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Dominique Keegan Brown, not guilty. Signed, the foreperson, dated this 21st day of June.
What was the reaction to this this finding, Rob?
Emotional was the reaction, especially on the part of the family of Sylville Smith. He's a young man who was shot and killed by this former officer. Smith was armed. He had a gun. He was running away from Keegan Brown, the police officer. And this was the case that that triggered protests and riots in Milwaukee's Sherman Park neighborhood last year. Another aspect of the aftermath of this case is that Sylville Smith's family essentially immediately following the resolution of the criminal trial announced that they will file a federal civil lawsuit against Smith and against the city of Milwaukee, making the case that he never should have been a police officer in the first place.
And this story has gotten national attention. What have you seen about how it's been covered elsewhere?
Well, this verdict came just a few days after a jury in St. Paul, Minnesota, acquitted a police officer in the fatal shooting of Philando Castile. Just today, a jury deadlocked, and there was a mistrial in a case in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, you know, this case is complicated. The specifics of this case are, you know, they are particular to this case, but it fits into this this broader narrative, and I think what it really highlights is just how difficult it is for charges to be brought against an officer, for a jury to decide against a police officer in a case that involves on-duty behavior.
We're talking with Rob Mensah right now, storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's catching us up on the biggest stories out of Wisconsin this week. And Rob, finally, a new lawsuit filed in Northern Illinois takes on Home Depot and the Wisconsin-based chain Menards over what a 4x4 is. Now, on first blush, you think, well, you know, a 4x4 is a 4x4, but some people are alleging that the 4x4s are not actually a 4x4 in measurement, per se.
Oh, they're definitely not. That's not an allegation. 4x4s are not 4x4. That's a fact. So this is a weird one, but this, I can tell you, this story was a big hit this week on the USA Today Network websites. It's hard not to be interested. It's a case of blatant deception and vile trickery. It's a fraud of enormous proportions that's been perpetrated on all of us, Veronica, right under our noses, or at least that's the claim. The thing is, anybody who's ever tried to build like a deck knows that a 4x4 measures 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches. That is the industry standard since forever, that is understood, except that the name is 4x4. So the lawyers in this case are making the claim that is false advertising, and that if you didn't know, if you're not accustomed to building a deck or whatever, then you are being deceived by the name, the trade name 4x4.
Right, and what do the companies involved say to this about the 4x4 scandal going on here?
They say, are you kidding me? What is this real? They say nothing to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter who called and asked for comment. They declined to comment for the news report. But I mean, that's their claim is going to be like, this is a trade name. Just anecdotally, like, ask around. A lot of people will, I guess there's a split, right? If you work with wood, then this is like a fact that you know, and it seems silly to even bring it up. And if you don't work with wood, you're like, wait, what? A 4x4 is 3.5 by 3.5? What's with that?
And what about the false advertising aspect of it? I have not built a deck. I don't know what I would expect. But I mean, if it is not actually a 4x4, then what do you get?
Yeah, it's a little weird, right? I mean, yeah, I don't know how they would have to classify them, like put it in quotes, 4x4 or 4x4 brand lumber, actual measurements 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches. I mean, there are basic expectations for their consumer protections that companies that are selling stuff need to advertise it clearly in a way that even people who are not specialists will understand. So it seems like a little bit of a stretch, and it's certainly funny to talk about. But I guess we'll see how it plays out.
All right, Rob, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
That was Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for USA Today Network, Wisconsin.